relationships. And it's how many of you are married? Okay. And I'm just sorry. I planned for team life. And Joe Circutello was going to do this class. But the last minute he just wasn't able to do it, so, which is not his problem, but I'm trying to get prepared here. And so I want to speak about, I think the first part of our class is my testimony about my wife. And then we'll go to a few principles. Then we can have questions and answers. Okay, my first thing is, and you can take notes. My wife's name is Lisa, so you can write that down. Okay, and she is. I met her in Bible school. And we went to Bible school for 3 years together. But I was not serious about having any relationship. And she wasn't either. But we grew spiritually. And eventually we got married. But first I went to Finland as a missionary for 1 year. And then I realized there that I wanted to get married. I didn't believe that until I went to the mission field. Then I realized it's not good for me to be alone. I would like somebody to share my life with. And I could speak to them. They understand me and return back to me and give back. And this is really, I think, what a marriage is. It's a reflection of one person back to the other person. So when you look at your wife, you actually see yourself. And when she looks at you, then actually she sees herself. And why are you smiling? Okay. All right. The transparency is so refreshing. If that is on the basis of truth and integrity and in love. The problem is that in people, and this is a person. And that we have the inner man. And this is who I am. And I have actually three circles here. Three. It's what I believe. It's what I believe, it is my values, and then my behavior. A marriage is not really based on behavior. Let me write this in Hungarian. What's this? Heat. This is heat rendszer, faith system, values, érdek, and viselkedés. Okay. A marriage is not based on behavior, but something more. What's important to you? What do you believe? What do you love? What do you hate? What's the goal of your life? What's important in your life? The deeper part of us. That's why I think men make a mistake by marrying only somebody who could win Miss Hungary. I have a friend in America who never got married, and I told him, the problem is that you are looking for Miss America. And you're making a big mistake. You are looking for a beautiful woman when that's not the real world and that's not the basis of a marriage. It's not what a woman looks like. It's what are her values and what does she really believe? What is really important to her? And when you look at your wife, this is really what you're looking for. Like that, the who she is, and reflecting back to you so that you really agree. And this is her. Sorry. And let's see. Okay. The relationship is reflection. And this can happen without Jesus Christ. I mean morality. Common goals, your ideas of a family, of work, of commitment, and this can all produce intimacy without faith, without belief in God, but you can have common values. And that's why in some cases marriages in the world are very good. And couples make commitment. And they share life together. You know, it can be that way. But we have an advantage. Because this is when Jesus comes into your life. There is the new man in you that is born in you. And he already exists in Colossians 3:10. When we are born again, we have a spiritual man that is in us. And in the fellowship that we discern this. And we actually have fellowship in it. And this is in Colossians 3 and also in Ephesians 4. And I does not mean I can marry, I marry any believer because a man is body, soul, and spirit. And I would like the first thing to be spiritual. That this woman is a believer. That's that's number one. Like, is she a believer? You know. And that's important to me. That she actually has this capability. And then the second thing. What kind of believer is she? Is she, and I mean, In my case, I married somebody who was not just a believer, but was also a disciple. I mean, and I, you know, she was a disciple, and this is, of course, not in every case. Not every person is. But in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. And so, we sat in the same church. We're not thinking of each other. She sat there, I sat there. I suppose I was not looking at her, thinking about her. But she was being built up in the inner man and ended up having the same values. And then I was physically then I got to know her a little bit, and it was very comfortable to be together. There was no manipulation, there was no control, there was a sense of freedom and a pleasant joy and peace. And then the third thing, so, is I was physically attracted to her, and I liked her. I liked what she looked like, and I was attracted to her. And then I waited a long time, about 2 weeks. Now I was in Finland, and then 1 year later, I came back to America, and we got married. And this is a great story. Not every story goes like this, but my observations are that there are a few things that have always helped us. And they are simple, and that is that we loved each other, we got married, and we enjoy being together. And I think the first thing is, when we have a problem, we know when to ignore it and forget about it, or deal with it and talk about it and forgive very quickly and never bring it up and forget about it. Some problems, like, for example, in my life, like she could look at me and say, you know, I have a problem. I am married to this person. Okay, this is a problem. And there are certain problems that he has. For example, he is not very organized. You know. Okay, this is my life, okay. You should see my closet where my clothes are. You know, he is not so organized. He forgets things. He comes home without the milk. He is forgetful. He is not so well organized. This bothers. My wife is organized. And she's like very smart. Like she can remember 36 things. And when she wakes up in the morning, you know, it's just so easy. She remembers 36 things. She is so smart and it's so easy. But I am not like that. And she's married to me. But she has no choice. She did not marry me to change me. Yeah, she didn't marry me thinking, okay. When I get my hands on him, I am going to change him. You know, I have a plan. I'm going to change my husband. You know, I'm going to make him an organized person. And I'm going to make him something. I have never felt that. I have never felt that. My wife may laugh, you know, about things, or she may say something like maybe. And if she does, there's no power to it because she loves me and has accepted me the way I am. And does not have a project to change me. But she loves me as I am. And this is a wonderful thing for a person. And maybe it's difficult, but actually it's the best way to live. It's to accept the other person as they are. Now, there are things about her that disturb me. There are two things. Number one, when she buys fresh milk and puts it in the refrigerator, she pushes the old to the back and the fresh milk is out front. And that bothers me. Okay. You should put the fresh, the old in the front. And this is true. Sometimes when I wake up in the night, I go to the refrigerator and I change it. Especially if I have jet lag, I came from Europe. I wake up at 4 in the morning and there's nothing for me to do except pray, study my Bible, and change the milk in the refrigerator. And, you know, the toothpaste. You know, she squeezes at the top. You know, and I have to put the top on and start from the bottom. You know, yeah. And that, you know, honestly, that's the only problem And I never tell her that. You know, I don't tell her, you know, would you, you know, because I laugh about it. It's no, you know, yeah, I laugh about it. I mean, here's the point. Marriage is not for perfect people. Marriage is for just people who have decided to love each other as they are. And forgiveness is a big part of it. Just forgive. Hey, the point is that it's amazing that she is married to me. That she will live with me. That's amazing. That she will live with me. Wow. What a amazing thing. That she will live with me, and it's amazing that I also can love her. And when something comes up, the behavior here, what is this? It is not the issue. You know, there's something deeper. It's not the behavior. It's her values. Like, what's important? Our marriage is important. God put us together. And that's important to her. And it's also important to me. Our children are important. Our marriage is not just for us, it's for our children. Our church is important. Our marriage is really for the church. And for the purpose of others. Our home is at peace. Yeah, he broke the jar of pickles. What do you call that? Ubor. Yeah, Ubor Kash Le Uvek. Huh? He broke that. You've heard the story, right? Uvek. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? You think these little marks are easy? They're very hard for me. You know, you think, how could he make that mistake? I mean, how could he make that mistake? Believe me, Uvek is, that is, you heard the story, right? Yeah, he broke the jar of pickles. How could he do that? Well, the behavior, the incident, you know, and behind it, our marriage, that's more important than the pickles, and our lives, and peace, and love, and prayer, that's more important than the pickles. I mean, if we prayed together and loved each other, maybe God will give us a pickle factory. You know, a pickle factory. But we get stuck. And if we go beyond, I mean, we have so much potential because God is in us. And we should never lose sight of that. And I, counseling people, I've counseled people, their marriages have been just total disaster. I mean, on their way to the lawyer to get a separation. I mean, just total disaster. And we have seen them saved. You know, we have seen marriages healed. But because the problem is really this selfishness. And, you know, I am offended. And she doesn't love me. And he doesn't love me. And we have seen miracles happen. And the formula is very simple. And it is, do you believe that God can heal your marriage? And some people say no. But do you believe? Now, if you have been divorced or you're, you know, if that's over, I'm speaking, you know, I know, I understand. There are divorced people and bad marriages. But if you can just get in this inner man and take your eyes off of the circumstances and believe God, is it possible? If God raised the dead, can he also regenerate your marriage? And I mean, is it possible? And the answer is, it is. If he divided the Red Sea, then he can also put your marriage back together. Now, I was thinking of David here, Pastor Dave. Maybe you could give a little testimony. Would you like to? Yeah. On your marriage, give a testimony on your marriage. And come right up here and do it. But don't we're as you're doing it, we'll be waiting for Jesus to come back. I mean, don't do it until Jesus comes back. I mean, you got an hour and a half. No, come on over here.
All right, I'll try to make this quick, fast. I'm not exactly sure what part of our marriage Pastor Schauer wants me to talk about. Yeah, we went through some real tough times, real tough years. And I always looked at this part here. And I most of the time I was just there. I think I'm trying to think here. I got an hour and a half. Yeah.
No. Okay. You had marriage problems. Okay. Was forgiveness important?
Yes. Well, I think the forgiveness was two ways. First off, when we had problems, I always thought I was right initially. Because something would happen and I would think this is crazy what happened. But I would go to God with it and say, God, show me where I'm wrong in this. And it was always the same. It was always the same. That I needed to build up my wife. I needed to give her a life. And to invest in her. And it was always that I wasn't doing that. I would just look at what maybe my wife did as a result of me not building her up. And sometimes I would get so frustrated at something that happened, something financially that would really set us back, and I would look at that and I would say, that's it, I've had it, you know. And we separated three times. Yeah. And I thought one time it was over. I thought, no, I don't want to hear. I don't care what God's going to do to me. It's over. But actually, it's always been me, you know. And I would remember Dr. Stevens say, marriage problems are 100% the man's fault. And I believe that. And that's maybe, I mean, we look at the circumstances and we say they're wrong. They're wrong in what they did. I know they're wrong. But the root cause is the way we are, whether we're investing and pouring life into our wife or whether we're not. A great book, Gary Smalley wrote a book, and he said, a woman's emotional stability is based on the romantic love that she gets from her husband. And it's easy to give romantic love when you're dating, you know. We forget that. After we're married, forget it. But we pay an awful price when we forget that. Yes, now everything's okay.
Okay, thank you. That was... what a great subject. What a great subject. Do you want to come back up here for a minute? Yeah, come on back. Now, okay, just stand right over here. Now, let's have our, we have how much, we have time, right? How much time do we have? Okay. We'll close in a minute and then we'll take a break and then come back, But as he was speaking, I was thinking about how easy people's behavior bothers us. And there's a few areas. Spending money is one of the major reasons for marriage problems. Money. She spends, he saves. He spends, she saves. He spends, she spends. Nobody saves. Problems. Okay, that's one of the main sources of marriage trouble. And this is has to be dealt with somehow. Like all of these behavior things. But he said something good. I mean, that the man is 100%. And what does that mean? But he's the head of the woman. And he is responsible to lead her. But we have some problems. We have passive men. And this is a category where men are not leaders. They are passive, not communicating. And also, they may let the woman lead. And in some areas, that's fine. In some way, that's fine. Because she may be gifted. But still, the man is the spirit. He is the one that is going, or he is going to look at the woman this way. And these deeper ways. She spends money, but I love her. Okay, like we have a problem with money, but I love her, and I'm going to have a relationship that is deeper than the problem. Now there's a few elements here. Here's the woman. And here she is in the church. Why don't you take it out, give it to her husband, so that it happens again. What did he say? All right. How is the woman edified, loved? There's a few ways. Okay, the woman is loved by God and built up in herself. Like God is enough for a spiritual person. I have a bad marriage. but God is enough for me, like in my spiritual life. Number two, I should be loved by my husband, and he should love me. And if he does, wow, that's fantastic. The same spirit, the same mind, and then also that romantic element that David mentioned, which sometimes leaves a marriage, and then it goes from a romantic relationship to a business relationship. You know, this is my wife who is my partner. You know, we manage this company, which is our family. You know, we pay bills and we try to stay alive. And my wife is my partner. And that is where a marriage goes sometimes. And he said, the man is responsible to keep a romantic element in the marriage. And we would say, yes, that's true. But if it doesn't happen, I have this relationship, and then I also have this one. This is my relationship with God. We have two, my relationship with my husband, and then number three, my relationship with my sisters and brothers. Like here in our church and Bible school. And I need to be loved, understood, and encouraged. So I have a godly relationship with the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4. And that helps me. My marriage is bad, but I love being here. Okay. My marriage is bad, and I believe and hope, but I am also edified in my purpose as a human being. Now, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God said to Eve, as a curse, that her desire would be toward her husband. Like she's looking for something from him. You know, give me. Okay, what does she want? She wants a relationship. Romantic. Meaningful. Communication. Love. David. You know, it's his wife saying it. You know, she doesn't call him Pastor David. Pastor David? Yeah, she said, you know, I need you. You know, I need you. You know, like minister to me. Like love me, help me. And what's your temptation in that situation?
Well, I think the temptation is that if you're telling me to do it now, then it's mechanical, and I can't just do it now. And usually by that point, she's angry with me, so then it's harder to do it at that point.
Satisfied. She told me that, or is expressing that, and she's asking me, and I have actually thought I was doing a good job. I mean, I came home for supper on time. I mean, I said to her, how are you doing? I mean, I even brought her a flower. But it's not enough. And she's not satisfied. And we have to be careful with that. Because the woman is looking to the man, and he is responsible. But she has to be careful, because she also has to go to God, and she has to live with a man who is also a sinner, weak, and maybe not what she expects. And then he feels that. And if it continues that way, he actually might be drawn to another woman. Somebody in the office. And this woman really appreciates me. I mean, I met her at the water fountain in the office. And it didn't take anything for me to notice that she was interested. And I just looked at her, and she looked at me, and there was chemistry there, automatically. And, oh, that's, now I go home to my wife, and she's not satisfied with the fact I'm home, that I pay the bills, that I actually said to her, you know, thank you, and there's nothing there. This is like the real world. And when it happens in a Christian marriage, you know, we have to say, hold it, wait a minute. I want to live with a satisfied relationship. But it's not automatic, and it's not mechanical. It has a few elements to it. A lot of forgiveness, a lot of patience, and an attitude. I have my wife, and I do love her. We're having problems a little bit, but I want her to just rest in the fact that she can trust me, that she has to believe God, abide in the truth, trust my leadership, and let's get old together in a trusting relationship. And this is another point. In my marriage, I would like the romantic, you know. We all love that. The romantic. I mean, that's a tremendous thing. I mean, the romantic thing. And I've been married 23 years. And we don't have that. We don't really have that romantic thing. But we have something that is also very precious. And that is like a deep understanding of who we are, how we trust each other, love each other, and we're going to get old together. And we look forward to that. We will be together and trust each other. We are the best friends. We are the best friends. And, you know, the romantic thing, I mean, that's important. That happens. We kind of work on it. Maybe you can talk about your experience. Yeah, but it's not the most important thing. But it's important, but it's not the most important. And she wants it, and I also want it. And how can I do it? And I asked Paul Lange one time, and this is what I said a few days ago. I said, Paula, I would like to be creative, and I'm asking you to help me. I want to be creative. How could I creatively love my wife? Like in some way. Like I make phone calls. I sometimes send a fax. But how could I do it? And she said, well, you could send a gift with me, you know, to your wife, because I'm going there. And so I said, okay, what kind of gift? You know, what kind of gift? Like, what kind of gift, you know? And she didn't know. So, but anyway, I did. I sent a little thing to my wife. But I want that too, but I don't know what it is. I think actually I've got something better. You know, I got something better. Yeah, and it is, I love her. And she knows that. And she loves me. And I also know that. Maybe that is the romantic thing. You know, that's it. I love her so much. I mean, and she loves me. I don't know how much. But we are trusting each other.
I just think that the different, I mean, men don't understand women at all anyway. I think all women are different. I wish my wife didn't need that romantic because of my makeup. But I also think that God in his wisdom puts people together to get maximum growth out of both people. So God chose to put me, who the romantic part is just not a part of me. And then he puts me with a woman that really desires that and demands that almost. And that causes me to have to get from God, you know, supernaturally something that's not a part of me. And also one other thing I was thinking about was just that it is very easy, for instance, with my makeup, it's very easy for me to get everything I need from just being with the body. And I have to see that my wife is very important. It's more important than me being with the body. That it's God first, and then my wife, and then my ministry. And I think it'd be a grave error to be great at serving the body and neglecting your spouse. And fail at that. I mean, it's terrible to just be everything's your family and you never do anything for God, but it's just be terrible to be so busy for God and then just neglect your spouse. So I've had to see the importance of that. And the importance of who she is.
K. Okay, any question or comment? The rabbis taught in Jesus' time, the rabbis taught three times in one day. You forgive three times. And Peter said to Jesus, because he knew Jesus was gracious, how many times can we forgive? Seven? You know, seven. Peter was being very generous, like seven times in one day. And then Christ said this, you know, huge number. And it's 70 times seven. And this is just bringing us into another world, isn't it? And that's what I believe. Now, let's say this. If I have a bad marriage, I mean a very bad one, I'm very unhappy there. Okay, there's hardly any, a legal contract is keeping us together. Okay, then how does it work? I love in my attitude. I forgive and I love. And the result is that I'm getting reward. This is a spiritual reward on my life. And this is for 1 Peter 3:8, 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15, Romans 14:10. There is a spiritual, and this is what David said. If my marriage is not good, well, this is not the primary purpose of my life, is not to have a good marriage. The primary purpose of my life is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's my primary purpose. It's to be like Jesus. And that's what God is doing in my life. And if he uses a bad marriage, a bad job, a bad economy, a bad child, a sick child, or bad health, whatever method, the point is that actually if I walk before God, I'm putting treasure in heaven. And in my experience as a pastor, I would say, I'm going to be very bold. I don't know how edifying this will be. But I would say maybe 80% of marriages are not good. The people are not happy in their marriage. It's very common in the church and in the world. It's very common. So why? You know, why? I don't know why. But I know what I have to do. And that is that I am loving, working my problems, forgiving, and I'm living before God, and I'm trusting him. And maybe it changes, and maybe it does not. And if it does not, and this is how I live. And I said that to somebody recently. They said, when will my husband change? And they just got married. And they are very unhappy. And I said, and they said, when will he change? And I said, maybe he will never change. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's possible he will never change. You just live before God, and God will give you reward in this life and in the life to come. Live before God, and that's how you have to do it. Is it possible to be separated? Yes. 1 Corinthians 7:15. If he is violent, dangerous, mentally sick, then you can leave, but you cannot get married, because you're legally married to him. But if he dies, then you can remarry. Romans 7:4. But you cannot kill him. Okay. You cannot kill him. But if he dies, then you can remarry. And also, if he lives in adultery, in Matthew 19:9. And I would add to that, like, as a way of life. As a way of life, he lives in adultery, then it's possible to get a divorce legally and marry again. But other than that, no. It's not allowed. But this is how, because I don't know what will happen. They could change, and if not, then I'm just living before God. And they may not be as bad as you think. And with some love, like, there could be some great things happening. Does that help you, or does that address your question? Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can be very disappointed, you know, in another person. And if you are disappointed so much that you lose esteem and respect, then you may be reduced to just believing biblically that she is valuable, though I don't see it. She is valuable and she has potential, but I don't see it because she lies to me or is deceitful, and I don't see it. But I read in the Bible that she does have the potential that she could become respectable. And this is how God looked at me when I was away from him. He loved me this way. When there was nothing in me, but he saw my potential. And so that's how I want to love the other person. But I mean, it's a spiritual thing, you know. And when you're disappointed 1,000 times and for 1,000 years, it seems, then it's hard to see that. But that's when I simply have to decide that yes, I am married to her, and I ask God to help me so I can love her with God's love, and I hope she would change. Yeah, that's definitely one of the root problems in a marriage. I found something in our marriage, which was a surprise to me, and that was with our teenage daughters, because I had two teenage daughters that really were a problem. From the time they were like 12 years old, almost to the time they were 18. And this was difficult. They grew up in the church. They had been on the mission field. They were in Christian school. And then something happened in their hormones or something. And these precious little girls just started to grow little horns on their forehead. And this was difficult for me. So here are the two little girls here. And this is my wife, and this is me. And this problem was not like one month, but it was 6 years. And we were both kind of unhappy because the problem was a surprise to us. And it troubled us, and the stress and our relationship with each other. And I realized that this can cause a divorce in a marriage, that teenagers can cause separation as their personal frustrations are expressed towards each other. Okay. She's frustrated. I am frustrated. And what comes out of the mouth is like very important. And the devil was close to us, but we always had like very stable marriage. But it kind of goes along with that comment. I can't take my personal problem and throw it at my wife. And she can't do that to me either. It's like we never did that. But I could feel it. You know, who's responsible for our problem? And, you know, why is this happening? And when will God change the situation? And I think this is where doctrine comes in. Our teaching, our attitude, and our unconditional love. And I just say, I never, and I tell new married people, like, never say an accusation at your wife, and never say an accusation at your husband. Do not use ugly words. You know, never say those words. Never express that, you know, with your tongue, because they are not edifying. And it's not from God, and it is not intelligent, and it is not spiritual. And this is, you know, I could feel that, you know, because, you know, you are frustrated or angry or disappointed, and it continues, and it's your children and. And how? Why is this? And so on. And I never said it's your fault. And she never said that to me. And you know, we always treat each other with integrity. And there's something bigger here. And then the good news is that my girls are amazing today. You know, they really are. They changed when they were about 18 years old. It was like they did. And they are like our best friends. And when they were 16 years old, my wife would say to me, I cannot even imagine that someday my daughter will say thank you. You know, I can't even see that day. Whereas someday my daughter will say to me, you know, thank you. You know. But now my daughters are disciples, and they are, I mean, and we live in the same place. You know, our families, I can't even believe it. But it was a dark time that way. But the Lord gave me a verse once. Exodus 33:15. And it was, my peace will go with you. And that just came right from the Lord. And that was my hope. My peace will go with you. And that's what I lived on. That Bible verse, and we got through the wilderness, and they thank us, and you know, it's a great thing. So, you know, just be careful with your own personal life, and how you treat your wife. Okay, any other question or comment? Has this been useful? Yes, it has. Thank you, because you know, I'm just talking to you, you know, and I hope that it's useful. It's not systematically done, you know, but anyway, it's just some experience. Any closing question or comment? Yes.
Szóval, hogy ha vannak ilyen alapvető dolgok, amiket egy nő igényelne, vagy szeretne, és azt esetleg a férfi nem veszi észre, vagy nincsen meg benne magától, akkor lehet ezt vele közölni, hogyha amúgy jó kapcsolat van közöttük, akkor lehet ezt vele közölni valahogy valamilyen megfelelő időpontban és módon, vagy esetleg hagyja az ember, hogy nem tudom, mi jó neki. Hogy szóval, hogy tényleg, hogy nem tudom pontosan, hogy mi jó neki, hogyha elmondom neki, vagy nem. És hogy hogyan viselkedjek vele szemben, hogy mi neki a legépítőbb, vagy a legjobb. És hogy említene néhány dolgot, amit például egy férfi igényel egy nőtől, ami nem belőle, ami amúgy nem fakad ugyanúgy a nőből, mint egy.
Yeah, I think one thing in a marriage is that women understand communication better than a man does. And I think it's humbling to the man that he has to learn some things from his wife. And like we are brain dead on certain things, you know. So when it comes to relationships, a lot of times, we need for the woman to teach us some things, what they need. Now, one thing that's important, though, is that I think a woman would think that man's insensitivity or his ignorance on relationship is intentional. You know. It's like how could he not understand how I'm seeing this? But the man, I think, he just doesn't. He just doesn't see things the way a woman does. So the important thing for a woman, I think, is to be very patient with a man. Because I think we as men, we can get discouraged in this area very quickly. So like if you see a little bit of improvement, don't think, well, maybe if I harp on him more, else it'll get better and he'll change quicker or something. And it's not to change them, it's just to make them see things the way they are. So I think that has been a tough part in my marriage, is just that I have to learn some things from my wife.
Maybe I can make one observation too. And I like to draw pictures, so I don't know. Can you see it, Parity? Really? Okay. This might be obvious to you, but what David, Pastor David said,
that men and women think differently.
And
I think what he means is
that
maybe what is important to let's see if I can draw this. Here's the woman. She has new hairdo. Okay. Okay. She is her thing is relationship. This is what a woman likes. Or how she thinks. It's relationship. Looking, knowing, communicating. People. Him, my husband. But he is purpose oriented. What is his purpose? Where are we going? How do we get there? What is my job? He will stay at the office because he has a purpose, and she will sit at home with the hot dinner, and she wants a conversation. Like, she wants to talk, and he wants to accomplish his goal. And I think that's the two different ways that they are. And when she has a need, like be close to me, talk to me, communicate to me, and he is thinking of his work, that she has to be sensitive to that. You know, he's doing something. He's going somewhere. He has a project. And this is his life. And I am part of it, but I am not the primary part. The primary part of the life is not to satisfy the woman's personal need, but it is, you know, she may think so, but she has to sacrifice her life for his life, and he sacrifices his life also. And so this goes together. And every family has to find that relationship. And in my life, for example, my wife sacrifices our relationship so that I can accomplish another purpose. And that's a great sacrifice. And there's not a lot of women that would do that. But she's always thinks like that. Like, this is your calling. These are your gifts. This is what you do. And this is from the days in Finland. And she puts the ministry first. But you can't expect other people to do that. And it may not be God's will. And people have different capacities. And also, my wife has been blessed in other ways. And that is, our family is so, you know, it's wonderful. We have four children, two grandchildren, and we're young. You know, I'm only 57. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but we are young, and we have a big family, and that's satisfying. And then I come home, and, you know, I come home, and we have wonderful. So, and then I also leave, and we play little tricks. We say, when she takes me to the airport, I say, I'll see you in 3 days. And she says, yeah, I'll see you just in 2 days, I'll see you. But we both know it's 30 days or 40 days or, but we lie to each other. In 2 days, I'll see you in 2 days. And that we never have these big emotional goodbyes. Where you just say, you know, get out of the car and go. And I say, okay, fine, go. And that's how we go. Cause we're not living in that, you know. Cause it doesn't profit. But our purpose is awesome. And so is our relationship. And so, to answer your question, you have to be careful with your needs, and you do have needs, and they should be met. And the man needs wisdom, and he should do both. You know, his purpose, and also his precious wife that God gave him to take care of, you know, all the days of his life. Okay, amen. Question or comment before we go? Okay, that's all then.